Continuing with Vishnu Sahasranam. Yesterday I spoke on Ameyatma. Oop. Okay, well, better late than never. This is a name that can only properly pertain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This name, Ameyatma, it bewilders the impersonalists, because the impersonalists say that the ultimate truth is formless. That is the very meaning of an impersonalist. So, their understanding is like this, that the Supreme is immeasurable, unlimited. All forms are measurable. Someone is 1.5 meters tall, and how many kilos? 60 kilos in weight. Someone is 2 meters tall, and how much? 120 kilos in weight. So that's all measurable. You can measure. You can measure how broad is their chest. What is the tailor measures when you go to get some clothes made? Do people still do that? Not much. Mostly it's already made these days. But those of you who are older, maybe you remember going to the tailor, or the tailor comes and then they measure all the different, the wrist, the neck, the shoulder, the chest, all these different parts. So a form is measurable, and the Supreme is immeasurable. Therefore, the impersonalists say that the Supreme cannot be a form, but Krishna is Ameyatma. He is the Supreme, he is measurable, and he is a specific person with a specific form. Dvibhuj, Muralida, Shyamasundara. These are all descriptions of Krishna, the form of Krishna. So how can that be that he's immeasurable? How tall is Krishna? You can measure. Maybe you can measure. But he may bewilder you, because just like Vamana Dev, how tall is he? He's a little dwarf. And then he became so big that he covered the universe in two steps. He is Anoraniyan Mahato Mahiyan. He's the smallest of the small and the biggest of the big simultaneously. He's just a little boy, but when he opened his mouth, Yashoda Mai saw the whole universe in his mouth. How is that possible? Is it possible? Not for you, not for me, not for anyone else except Krishna. Therefore, he is Ameyatma, and we are not. We are Mayatma. So this is another meaning. So, going on to the next verse, name 183, according to this counting system. Some different commentators, they break up the Sanskrit in different ways. They break up the sandhis in different ways so that you get different numbering systems. But here we have Shlok 20. Beginning with name 183, this verse is Mahishvaso Mahibharata Srinivasas Satangatihi Aniruddha Suranando Govindo Govindam Patihi. So Baladev Vidyabhushan, the Gaurya Vaishnava commentator, he says that the first four names are expansions of the Supreme Lord, who are worshipped in particular tracts of land within this universe. Mahishvas is worshipped in Kim Purusha Varsha. It's not stated where Mahibharata is worshipped, but presumably because Mahi means the earth, so presumably that means he's worshipped in the earth. Srinivas is worshipped in Ketumala Varsha, and Satamgatihi is worshipped by devotees throughout the universe, and the remaining names describe the Supreme Lord as he appears on Shvetadvip, which is the Vishnu planet, which manifests within this universe. So, name 183 is Mahishvasa, which means this, it's more or less the name, same as one name which has already appeared, Dhanvi, which means he who has a bow. So, Vishnu is famous for having his Sharanga bow, and particularly Ramachandra Bhagavan. He's very famous as fighting with bow and arrows. Great archer. Krishna's main weapon is the main weapon of Vishnu. I think we need every oil. Every door needs oil. We put some oil on the door so we don't get all these sounds disturbing. So Krishna, he's known as Chakri. That's another name which comes up. His main weapon there is his Sudarshan Chakra. He has many weapons. He's also known as Gadadhara, the holder of the club. So for the demons, he has many weapons for protecting the devotees. And even without weapons, as time, he destroys all the plans of the demons. But for the demons who come before him, he speeds up their tryst with death. As Rama, he killed so many demons with his arrows. He also killed one devotee. Who is that? Can you think? Rama killed... Why would he kill a devotee? Vali? We may say, well, Vali, he wasn't... He was... He would be, because he was the enemy of Sugriva, who was a devotee, then Vali wasn't a devotee. But if you see that Vali, when he was dying, he offered very good prayers to Rama and said, it's actually very good that I'm being killed by you. So, he was actually a devotee. So you may say, why would Rama kill his devotee? Well, that's somewhat complex in the Leela, how that happened. We see that Krishna also arranged for Bhishma to be killed, who is his great devotee. So sometimes these things happen, but... And in fact, Arjuna, he didn't want to fight at all he didn't want to fight against Bhishma and Drona. Particularly, he didn't want to fight against anyone in that battle, but particularly he didn't want to fight against these two. But Krishna incited him to fight. So, sometimes it's very difficult to understand all these things. Yeah, everyone please turn off your cell phone. If you haven't done so yet, please do so without further delay. Please don't think that no one's going to call me, because there's always a chance. So, Maheshvasa, this can mean the discharger of great arrows or the wielder of a mighty bow. which comes out to mean more or less the same thing. It can also mean Mahan, Maheshwar. So it can also mean the discharger of arrows that are very enchanting. So who releases enchanting arrows? Mostly arrows are for hurting you, killing you. So who discharges enchanting arrows, bewildering arrows? Who can think? Arrows that do not hurt the body. Cupid, Pushpabana, Kamadeva. So Krishna is the Aprakrita Madam. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's referred to as the transcendental Cupid. And he releases arrows of love. Just by seeing him, all the females are enchanted. Krishna is, so his form is very beautiful and is especially attractive to women. Now, here we're especially referring to the gopis of Vrindavan, to the queens of Dwarka, who are smitten by Cupid's arrows upon seeing Krishna. So he his eyebrows are like a bow, and with his glances he discharges the arrows of love. So one comment on this is that there's a saying that Rama's arrows, they're never discharged without a result. Means they always hit the target. You may shoot so many arrows, or in the modern age you send some bombs and they don't get the target. This, it's said they have these drones in Pakistan. They kill 49 civilians for every terrorist they hit. 40. So, not very, not so accurate. But Rama's arrows, every one of them makes their mark. Also, the modern demons, they release their weapons, but it doesn't stop war, it just creates more and more disturbance. Whereas Ram, whenever he fought, he just finished off the opposition. He established peace by doing so. The Kshatriyas fight to establish peace. They do so by conquering the opposition. But in modern war, there's no end. You can't, warfare is not effective in the modern age because no one can win. There's all, you can go on with terrorism ad infinitum. So, the next name is given. Mahibharta. Mahi means the earth, and Bharta means one who bears, holds up, maintains, protects. Bharta also means husband. So, that name has already been given in Vishnu Sahasranam, Bharta. He's, in general, the maintainer of everyone. He's particularly the best husband who anyone could possibly have. There are various descriptions in Shastra of people who only want Krishna, of women who only want Krishna as their husband. They don't want anyone else. Of course, the gopis of Vrindavan are there when Krishna was personally present. But even when Krishna was not personally present in this world, there have been different women who only want Krishna as their husband. That's famous in South India. Andal, one of the, she was born as if an ordinary woman, but actually she is Lakshmi, and she was married to the Lord in his deity form. So Mahi, the husband of the earth, this earth planet is very special in several ways. One way is that it's the best place within the whole universe for cultivating Krishna consciousness. Another is that this earth is an expansion of the Bhushakti, the internal potency of the Lord, who is Satyabhama. This Kubja, who was a hunchback, she desired Krishna as her husband, and Krishna straightened her out. Trivakra, she's known in Bhagavatam as Trivakra. So the acharyas comment that she is actually an expansion of the Bhushakti. And she was pressed down, she was hunchback as if pressed down by the weight of the demons. So by straightening her up, Krishna indicated that all the demons who were pressing her down, who are making her feel burdened, they would soon all be destroyed, because she had prayed to Brahma, and then Brahma had taken all the demigods to the shore of the milk ocean to pray to Vishnu, because the earth was feeling overburdened due to the presence of so many demoniac persons who are posing as kings. They're not really fit to be kings. They were kings only by having power to dominate others, but they weren't kings in being Bharata. Actually, every king is supposed to be Mahibharata. He's supposed to maintain and protect the earth, the area of the earth over which he has jurisdiction, and all the inhabitants there. But in the modern age, so every king is supposed to be Mahibharata, and the best of them is Krishna. The king is supposed to represent Krishna. Naranam chandaradhipam. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, among men, I am the leader of men, the king. But the modern leaders, they take power just to exploit others. So they're not really kings in the, or kshatriyas. They're just demons, that's all. So Mahibharata is Krishna, but who holds up the earth. Well, that is particularly Ananta Shesh holds up the earth. And also Varahadev. He lifted up the earth when the earth was fallen in the Garbhodak ocean. Also Kurmadev is said to hold up the earth. Both Kurma and Ananta Shesh. Some people... there's this idea that in modern science that the earth is held up by gravity, but there are many problems with it. We just presume this because we're told about it. We presume this gravitational theory to be true, although there are lots of problems with that. One problem is that according to their theory, there should be a lot more mass in the universe than is observed to hold everything together. And so they've invented this idea that most of the universe is filled with invisible mass, which is a silly idea. So, but it's called science, and we're supposed to believe it, because they're supposed to know what they're talking about. But we don't give a damn for these stupid scientists. We accept the version of Shastra that all the planets are held in place by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by His various energies, not by the scientists' speculations. So Krishna is Mahibharata. Then name 185 is a very well-known name, especially. What are we going to do? Next time a cell phone goes off, we have to find them. How much? 10. Okay. What will you do with that? Give it to me. I'll use it in Krishna's service. Then that's not a punishment. That's a benediction. Anyway, we should take it off. We should make a fine. So the next name is very well known, especially in South India. Srinivas. That name is... Okay, get them. 10. What's the currency in this country? Dinar? Okay, take it. We should put a sign on the door. It's too much. It's just, despite requests, the phones keep on going off. Take it.
It was switching off.
Oh, switching off makes such a noise also. So, Srinivas. This name is particularly associated with the deity of Vishnu at Tirumala. Srinivas, Govinda, Balaji, Tirupati. Tiru is another word for Sri, so that means Sripati. Srinivas. Literally means in whom Sri resides. So that means Lakshmi resides on the chest of Vishnu. She always resides on his chest. Sri also means good fortune, wealth. So Krishna is always, all wealth always resides in Krishna. Someone has made this idea, Daridra Narayana, that the poor man is God, and you can serve God by giving money or doing welfare work for the poor man. So, to people who are not aware of the proper understanding, this theory sounds very good. Oh, I see. Feed the poor man. And that is serving God, because everyone is God. But this is a most demoniac theory, to say that Narayana is Daridra, to say that Narayana is poor. One becomes poor, poverty stricken, because one forgets Narayana and refuses to serve him, and due to karmic reactions, one is placed in a situation where he suffers from poverty. So to say that that's such a person is Narayana, Srinivas, is most offensive to Narayana, because Narayana is always Srinivas. He's always the abode of all wealth and opulence. So this idea has become very prominent in all over the world, actually. This is... In Christian teachings, one of the teachings of Jesus is that you should serve all people. If you want to serve God, you should serve all people. So in Christianity, which is not a developed theology, at all. There's this idea that, which later was adopted by the Ramakrishna mission, that Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. So this is the most rascal idea, that the Manav is Madhava. They're all the same. The idea, Shastra says that we should serve Madhava. We should offer puja. But they say, no need to do any puja. You just feed the poor man. So in this way, they avoid Madhava. And they equate the ordinary people, and especially the most wretched people, with Madhava. Madhava also means the husband of the goddess of fortune, of Lakshmi. So this service to man is service to God. This is the slogan. But this is not what Shastra states. Shastra states that as a social duty, those who are in difficult situation, they can be a help with clothes and food and all this kind of thing. But to equate this with bhakti, or to say that there is no need to do any other service, or rather the highest service to God is to feed poor people, this is a gross and very offensive misunderstanding. And it's very widespread. Generally people, they always say, why don't you open hospitals and schools? And I remember that Giriraj Maharaj, who was the president of ISKCON in Bombay when Srila Prabhupada was present there, he told me that practically every day someone would come to Prabhupada and say, what are you doing for the people? What social work are you doing? Why don't you open dispensaries? And Prabhupada would always say, no. Other people can do that. There are already so many doctors for the body. But we need to give knowledge of Krishna, by which people can get free from birth and death. So, Krishna is Srinivas. And if we worship him, then he will look after us. If we are destined to be poor, devotee accepts that. One of the great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Sridhara. He was called Kolabecha Sridhara because he would sell banana leaves. And you can imagine living in Bengal, everyone has banana trees in their garden. So it's not a very good business. Can't be a very great business. He would sell banana leaves and things like this lao, that's called in Hindi loki, squash. So everyone has growing on the side of their house these things. So that you won't get a very good income. Someone may, if they're having some function, they may purchase some banana leaves. Otherwise, normally there's no need to purchase them. So he was very poor. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed to all the devotees the form of Srinivas, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he's full of all opulence, and he showed to Sridhar, so what do you want, Sridhar? I can give you all opulence. He said, no, I don't want. Let me be as I am. He didn't want opulence. He just said that you come every day and fight with me and take all my vegetables and everything without paying, and I try to stop you. You just go on doing that. I'll be happy. So Krishna is the abode of all opulence, all wealth. He is the abode of Lakshmi. And Vaishnavas, sometimes it is considered that Vaishnavas, they are opposed to Shaktas. Shaktas are those who worship Devi, Durga as supreme. As Vaishnavas, they worship Vishnu as supreme. But actually, Vaishnavas, they are the supreme Shaktas, because they know that Krishna values Radha more than himself. Or in the Sri Vaishnava tradition, that Narayana, he values Sri more than himself. So they know that the Shakti is more to Krishna than himself. So the glory of Krishna, according to those who are very most intimate devotees, is not that he is so powerful, so wealthy, but that because he is favored by Radha, so this is a very high understanding, that Sri is attached to him, that Lakshmi is attached to him, that is his legitimacy. So this is a very intimate understanding of the name Srinivas. The whole world resides in him. Everything resides in him. Sri Lakshmi, she also resides in him, and he is more interested in her than in everything else put together. So this is the devotional understanding of the name Srinivas. Of course, she always resides in him, on his chest, but for the sake of Leela, that was seen, that when the churning of the milk ocean was going on, Lakshmi came out, and then she chose, all the great personalities of the universe, both demons and demigods are there, she chose to go to Narayana and to reside on his chest. So, she's there eternally, but apparently wasn't at that point, and then as if it is an event that took place in time, she came to his chest there, just like this conch of Krishna. He got that from the ocean. But that was always, it's his eternally, but it appears in his pastimes that he gets all these things. Agni gave Krishna the Sudarshan Chakra. Sudarshan Chakra is always with Krishna. So Lakshmi is always with Narayana. Then, what else? There's so much to say about this. Oh yeah, very important point is that Lakshmi, she resides with everyone to some extent. And someone may be a very rich man, but not for long. No one is rich in this world, no one is rich for long. You may be rich today and poverty stricken tomorrow. Rich in this life and in the next life a beggar. Because Lakshmi is known as Chanchala. She's here and she's gone, like lightning. You see, just there, gone. She doesn't remain long with anyone, but she remains always with Narayana. Sri also means... Actually, Sri means all good things, all beauty, all fame, all wealth. So, in whom all these qualities reside, that is Srinivas. So they're always together. Just like, if there's fire, there is always heat. And according to Vedic understanding, if there is heat, there is always fire. It means it may not be a burning fire as we see it, but the fire element is always there. So, in the same way, Lakshmi and Narayana, they're always together. There's no question of them being separated. Then name 186. Satam gatihi. Who is the ultimate goal for those who are sat? Sat means those who are devotees, those who are spiritual seekers. What is their ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is Narayana. There are many spiritual seekers. They want to, and religious people, they want to be good. They want to find out the truth. But they may go on for many, many lifetimes. Bahudam jananamante jnanavan mang prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. Someone may be seeking the truth, performing austerities over many lifetimes. And when they come to realize, oh, I have to surrender to Krishna, then they know, yes, this is my proper situation to surrender to Krishna. So Krishna is the, actually is the ultimate goal of everyone, but only those who are sat, those who are dedicated to the proper path, to the best path, they can find him. He cannot be, ultimately everyone is looking for Krishna, everyone's looking for happiness, and happiness is to be found in Krishna. But only those who adopt the proper means can find him. So, he's not only the goal, but he's the path, the direction, the way. Bhakti lead, how can we get bhakti? Bhakti leads to bhakti. Only by performing bhakti can we attain bhakti. Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. In the beginning, we have to do hearing and chanting, all these things. And in the end, what do? When we achieve perfection, then we do hearing and chanting and all this. So, in the present stage, we're in the neophyte stage, we perform bhakti. And the ultimate result will be that we perform bhakti. At the present time, we are just trying to become purified. But in the ultimate stage, we live with Krishna. We directly serve Krishna. Or through his... directly means we may be going through different liberated devotees, but we're directly in the presence of Krishna. So at present, we feel that we're not directly in the presence of Krishna. Because we identify with this world. But when we become completely perfect, then we realize that we're never separate from Krishna. When we chant the name of Krishna, Krishna is there. We're never actually separate from Krishna. The process of bhakti brings us to that realization. And then we live with Krishna. So, those who are seeking the ultimate truth, they can know. The ultimate truth is Krishna. No need to seek. We shouldn't go on seeking and seeking and seeking. Find the truth. The truth is Krishna. So, name 187 is... Where is that boy? Aniruddha. Ah. You know anyone with that name? Aniruddha? Aniruddha is the name of Vishnu. Means unstoppable. You can't stop him. One who in pursuit of what he wishes to do cannot be obstructed. He does whatever he wants. No one can stop him. So this is one of the meanings of all powerful. Generally we say that God is all powerful. So one of the manifestations, all powerful, he creates and maintains millions of universes. So that's one aspect of being all powerful. Another aspect is that whatever he wants gets done. No one can stop him. If he wants to do something, he does it. We like to think that we could do like that, but the best plans of mice and men, there is a saying by Shakespeare, I can't remember it all. But the idea is that we may plan something, but we can never be sure what the result will be. Anything, it may seem that something is a foregone conclusion. But there's another saying, many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. That means you can't, until something has actually happened, you can't be sure. Maybe that's sounds like a Shakespeare-ish one. That means just like if you have a cup and you have water, then you're going to drink it. So seems like a very straightforward thing. You lift up the, but you never know. Anything can happen. You could have a heart attack and drop the cup. Or, you don't know. I mean, theoretically, there could be hundreds of things that happen in between your grabbing the cup with the idea of drinking the water in it and actually drinking it. Nothing is sure. You can't say. Material energy has ways of thwarting all our plans. But for Krishna, if he wants to do something, you can say, it is done. There was one company I saw, what's that? A courier company. They had the motto that, the very difficult things we do immediately. The impossible takes a little longer. So they're boasting that they can do the impossible. Well, they can try, but there are going to be obstacles. And sometimes they may be prevented from doing something. Just like you may desire to go from one place to another, but so many obstacles may arise. But for Krishna, even if there are apparent obstacles, that doesn't stop him. Nothing's going to stop him. Unstoppable. What things are unstoppable? The rising of the sun, daily rising and setting. Can you stop that? There's a famous story of one king in England, it was a long time ago, called King Canute, who he went to the shore of the sea, and when the sea was coming in, the tide was coming in, he ordered it to go back. Now some people say that he wanted that his citizens were overly extolling him, and therefore he did this to show them that he wasn't omnipotent, all powerful. And others say that he was actually so stupid that he actually thought that the sea would go back. But anyway, it didn't go back. It's not under his control. That's under the control. Because it's under the control of Krishna, therefore the sun rises and sets every day. The sea tide comes in and goes out. That's beyond our control. And when Krishna says, there will come a time when the sun will not even exist anymore. That time will come when the whole universe is destroyed. So as long as the sun is shining, as long as the universe is going on, there's nothing we can do to stop it rising or setting. And when the universe is about to be destroyed, there's nothing we can do to stop that either. So it's a very good idea to take shelter of Krishna Because, as it's said in Bengali, Rake Krishna Mareke Mare Krishna Rakeke. If Krishna wants to protect us, then no one can kill us. And if Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can protect him. His desire rules. We can see Krishna came to this world paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya tadushkutam. There's so many big demons who were causing so much disturbance. Krishna decided, I'll come, I'll destroy them. And he destroyed them. When two fighters come together, you can't say who will win. It may sometimes the one who is not expected to win wins the fight. Just like in the Bible, there's the story of the boy David who killed the great giant Goliath. David and Goliath. So you can't tell who will win in a battle. In sports also, sometimes unexpectedly, a very weak team beats the unexpectedly. In India, mostly everyone is a cricket fan. Until they come to Krishna consciousness, then they can give up all interest in cricket. So I'm not interested in cricket, but I presume that happens in cricket also. I was in Bangladesh last year, and in Chittagong, the second biggest city, and I was supposed to be going to bed, sleeping at night, then there's all this big sound going all around. The Bangladesh cricket team had beaten, in Chittagong, they had beaten the England cricket team. And the next day we saw, I was going in the train and in the newspaper, front page, big news, that, oh, what a great event, the greatest, the whole front page of the newspaper about Bangladesh cricket team beat the England cricket team. Presumably Bangladesh cricket team is not expected to beat the English cricket team. So you can't say for sure. It wasn't expected, but it happened. And now probably everyone except the Bangladeshis forgot about it. But with Krishna, he always wins. Actually, sometimes he runs away from the battle. Not much, but he ran away from Jarasandha, and he ran away from this Kala, the Yavana known as Kala. But he didn't lose to them. He ultimately vanquished them. So he just destroyed them in a different way, that's all. So Krishna is never obstructed. Even big demons, Kamsa, Jarasandha, big nasty demons, Krishna killed them as if in sport. So no one can obstruct him. Aniruddha is, of course, one of the forms of the Chaturvyuha. And he appears as the son of Pradyumna, who is the son of Krishna, but they're all Vishnu forms. The impersonalists, they deny that he even exists, and in this way they try to, they deny his overlordship. They say that ultimately nothing exists, all these forms are false, Krishna is also false. So they can say like that, but they're also defeated by Krishna. In the due course of time, they have to suffer for their sinful reactions. So they're also enemies of Krishna. And they're also destroyed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he defeats the impersonalists. Even though they, just like, Kamsa and other great demons thought that Krishna was an insignificant boy. But they were all killed by Krishna. So the impersonalists like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati, they thought this Chaitanya, he's just some madman who's... Someone gave him sannyas, but just he's not very learned. He's just some nonsense character who's dancing in the streets with people. So they, similarly Keshav Kashmiri, he thought this, I'm a great scholar, who is this boy, this Nimai Pandit, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't kill them physically, but he defeated them all. He could not be stopped. So Krishna is unstoppable, undefeatable. But of course, he is controlled not by physical force, but by spiritual force. One who has love for Krishna can control Krishna. One who is the controller of everything is controlled by the love of his devotees. So he comes to this world to destroy the demons. He's unobstructed in that. But actually, he's compelled to do so by the love of his devotees. So he was unconquerable. He is conquered by the love of his devotees. So this name, Aniruddha, that's similar in many ways to name, there are other names similar, like Ajita. That name is there, unconquerable. So that's there in Vishnu Sahasrana. So, Hare Krishna. We're discussing the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the most exalted topics of discussion. So, it's great contrast to what you have to discuss day in and day out in your workplace. Srila Prabhupada wanted to found devotional communities where everyone can come and live together very simply, not having to work very hard. If we live simply, we don't need many things. So the idea is that we can all come together and produce some food, clothing, and all these things. Live simply without many material needs and fulfill our spiritual need. That we have time and the inclination by living together with devotees to discuss these topics. So, you can think about that. You don't have to spend your whole life in Bifale Shevinu Kripana Dura Jana Chapala Shukala Balagira. You don't have to spend your whole life in uselessly working for useless people, for some useless so-called happiness. But you can live simply and happily, chanting Hare Krishna in association with devotees, discussing about Krishna. Now you're able to do for a little time. And most of the time you have to spend working to maintain the body, but it should be around the other way. The bodily maintenance takes a little time, and the rest of the time is taken up in glorification of Krishna. So, chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Ah, you see? Now you're happy. See? No need to cry. Just chant Hare Krishna. He's saying, ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. I just have to teach him to say Ray and Krishna. Then it'll be all right. I already got the ha part. Now you're also ha, 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 ha. Ha ha ha, Hare Krishna. See, everyone's saying ha ha ha, but don't just say ha ha ha, say Hare Krishna. That will be better. So, any question about this? Three names we did today. What are the... Well, what are the three? Well, I started with Ameyatma, but that was actually left over from yesterday. No, four names. More. I'm myself getting confused. Maheshvasa. Mahiba. Maheshvasa means, who can say? Who remembers? Maheshvasa. Anyone can remember what Maheshvasa means? One who is a great bowman, great archer. Then Mahibharata means the husband of the earth, the maintainer of the earth, protector of the earth. Then Satangatihi. No, actually, next one is Srinivas. Yeah, Srinivas. Srinivas means? The residence of Lakshmi. Okay. Then? Satangatihi. You've got it all written down. So, someone else, what does Satangatihi mean? Satam. The goal of the good people. Yeah. And then Aniruddha, unstoppable, unobstructable. All right, any questions about this? Well, there are no small questions in Krishna consciousness. They're all big questions. Why did he do as he did?
Mahabali was the descendant of Prahlad dynasty, who is a great Vishnu Bhakta.
Why was Vamana so cruel to Bali? That's what the same thing the gopis said. The same thing the gopis said to Krishna. That we know about you, we heard about you in your previous life. Bali was very nice, but you cheated him. And Shurpanaka, she wasn't so bad, but you had Lakshman cut off her nose. That's some fun between Vamana and Bali. Bali was actually acting as a demon. He upset the universal order by throwing out Indra. So that was a demoniac action. So Krishna, he restored Indra's position. He gave Bali a better position. The Sutala planet was actually better than the Indraloka, Swargaloka. Although he's Upendra, the younger brother of Indra, he actually went to reside in Sutala with Bali Maharaj. And he enjoyed some fun. It's all some fun, just like Krishna cheats the gopis. But it's all ananda chinmaya rasa. It's all transcendental, blissful, juicy taste. So, if we are cheated by Krishna, that is very nice. If we are cheated by anyone in this world, that's the worst thing. But to be cheated by Krishna is the best thing. To be killed by Krishna is best. Better to be killed by Krishna than to kill others, to be a victor, to be a victorious king. Better is to be killed by Krishna. Krishna's killing or Krishna's protecting, it's all auspicious. It's all transcendental. It's all good. Nothing bad in Krishna. F- from a materialistic standpoint, we may think it's not very good. But from a transcendental standpoint, it's all good. And the proof of that is that Bali Maharaj, although he lost the kingdom, yeah, he got, even materially, he got a better place, but he was rewarded by the bliss of having the constant association of Bhamandi, which is far more valuable than getting or losing a kingdom. A devotee doesn't care whether he's king or poverty-stricken, but he only wants Krishna's association. So the way devotees judge is completely different to the way that materialistic people judge. People think that, well, a good religion is one that gives you lots of money. So you find out that God, who by worshipping you get lots of money. That is not a devotee's attitude. Devotee's attitude is that in wealth or in poverty, whatever situation I get according to my karmic dues, I must worship Krishna. There's a very nice song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this regard. And his song of this, his Bengali verse form of the Nadhanam Najanam. But I can't remember it just now. I can try and find it, but it'll take me some time. Anything else? Any other question? It's difficult to find it. What is that? No, it's not Manasadeha. Okay. Let me just see. Pita Varanak. It's so small type, I can hardly read it. My eyes are not so good. Any other question while I'm looking for this? Anything? Here it is, yeah. Prabhu tava pada juge mora nevedan nahi magi deha shuka bidya dhanajan. Oh Lord, I have this submission at your lotus feet. I do not beg for bodily happiness, knowledge, wealth or followers. Nahi magi Sharga, Mukha nahi magi. I can. Nakari prarthana kono vibhutira lagi. I can hardly. It's too small. So I do not desire swarga, the heavenly planets, nor liberation. Nakari prarthana kono vibhuti. I don't want any vibhuti. How do you translate that? Any
pride?
No, not pride. Vibhuti means just some very special quality, some outstanding quality, you could say. Nidja karma guna doshe, jay jay janma pai, Janme janme jena tava nama guna gay. Whatever birth I get according to my previous karmas, according to my jena, I pray that in every birth I may simply chant your names and qualities. E matra asha mama tomar charane ahoituki bhakti hride jage anukhane. Yeah, my only desire, which I is that I may have unmotivated devotional service, that unmotivated devotional service to your lotus feet will always be awake and alive within my heart. Is there any other, some more light? Bishoye je priti ebe. Achayama. Got that? How to do that? Bishoye je priti ebe achayama. She moto priti ho. Tendinas. Charane Toma. That the love that I have at present for sense gratification, may I have the same kind of love for your lotus feet. Vipade shampade shampade taha takuk shamabhabe. Dine dine briddhi hok name prabhabe. Yeah, this by daily chanting the holy names, may by the power of the holy names, may they always increase within me and the sameness, equanimity in wealth and in danger. Poshu poki hoye taki sharge ba niraye. Tava bhakti rahu bhakti binod hridaye. Whether I live, whether I become an animal or a bird, or whether I live in heaven or in hell, tava bhakti binod says, may bhakti to you always remain in his heart. And I guess that's the end of the song. So, very nice. Someone's. So, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.